Hello, and welcome to Story Radio, the podcast for readers, writers, and lovers of literature everywhere. Today, we're listening to Wolf Normal by Lynn Curry. This story appealed to me because of its remote rural setting and the way the central character is trying to regain her belief in herself by undergoing a physical challenge, a hike in the wilderness. It's also very well written. I hope you enjoy it.
Wolf Normal by Lynn Curry. The laptop glows in the dim kitchen, blue light flattening the room, turning the window into a black square that gives nothing back. I drag the computer closer, a rasp skidding across the table like a warning. Resurrection pass overnight, intermediate hike, good fitness required. The photo at the top of the event listing shows a line of hikers crossing a narrow bridge, green valley opening beneath them, the future wide open. Easy, airy, the kind of day people framed and hung on the wall as evidence of the life they lived. My cursor hovers over join. I imagine forwarding it to my daughter, her thumb pausing mid-scroll, her eyebrows lifting. The small private smile she saves for evidence I have done something embarrassing. Mom, out there? You'll slow the other hikers down. There'll be a narrow ledge. You'll freeze. My chair legs bite tile as I pull closer to the table, like proximity might turn me into someone else, someone who occupies photographs instead of studying them. The cursor stutters. I could still close the app. Tell myself next month. I press my lips together. Watch me. I click. The screen refreshes. Confetti explodes. You're going. My stomach twists, thrilled and sick. Well, I whisper into the empty kitchen, palms flat on the table, grounding myself in laminate. Congratulations. The house offers no applause. I study the event details. Resurrection passed. Overnight in a public use cabin. Moderate pace. Moderate for whom? I know that tone. My ex-husband leans back in his chair, smiles stretched thin, explaining something simple as if I need subtitles. My daughter watches him, learning the choreography. The two of them sharing that quick glance that turns me into weather, background, static. I do walk slower. People wait. My thumb drifts toward the leave button. I stand so fast my knee cracks the table and I shut the laptop before courage leaks out through my feet. Morning drapes itself in low clouds and the smell of wet gravel. Cars clustering near the trailhead, Subarus and trucks wearing bumper stickers like merit badges. I kill the engine and sit there, hands welded to the steering wheel, hikers in Brownian motion. Tightening straps, clicking poles open, greeting each other with the easy shorthand of the already competent. When I step out of my car, cold grips my throat. My boots newer than everyone else's. My pack sits higher, wrong somehow. My mouth dries. Turn around. Drive home. A woman with a blonde braid lifts her chin toward me. You here for the meetup? I nod. Smile stretched and polite, the expression I'd perfected at conference tables and parent-teacher nights. Hi, Tess, first time. Nora, fun route. She gives my pack a quick, efficient scan. We'll keep it moving. Translation, keep up. A tall man glances over, frowns at my pack, then steps close, reaching for my shoulder straps. You want to snug this down so it doesn't pull you backward. His fingers work fast and competent. I freeze, arms half lifted, unsure where to put myself while he rearranges me. There. He steps back, brushes his palms together. Better. Thanks. I'm Tess. Mark, team leader. He's already turned away. Around us, conversations braid and tighten. River crossing should be fine. Heard there's bear sign near the second bridge. cabin might already have people. Experience floats between them like currency. I check my pockets and come up empty. We start walking. Gravel shifts underfoot, then dirt, then the green swallow-up trees. The group stretches into a line, paced confident and unhurried, still making my lungs work for it. I focus on breath, the soft mechanical swing of arms. Up ahead, laughter sparks. A story about a ridge in the Chugach, wind, the language of people who collect hardship like souvenirs. I nod at the right places. My gaze keeps drifting, tugged by the woods. No birds. The quiet presses close, thick as wool. I roll my shoulders. People hike here every day. They'd react if something mattered, right? We round a bend where the trail softens into mud, prints layered and overlapping, history pressed into earth. Everyone tromps through, chatting. Poles clicking. My gaze catches on the edge. Large. Deep. Clean. Not crossing. Running alongside. I slow. Another print appears ahead. Same direction, same easy stride. Then another. Pace matching ours without hurry, without drift, like a shadow that learned how to keep time. I glance toward the others. They keep moving, backs broad and unworried, voices lifting, falling. Say something. My tongue presses to the roof of my mouth. Maybe old. Maybe nothing. Don't be dramatic. Don't be the woman who cries wolf. I swallow. My eyes keep counting. One, two, three. The prints keep their distance from the trail, sliding in and out of brush, reappearing with a patience that tightens my spine. I lengthen my stride and catch up to the cluster ahead. Breath quickens, urgency masquerading as exertion. Hey, I call, hating how my voice asks permission before the word even leaves my mouth. Can I show you something? Mark, Nora, and two others slow with a tolerant air of people humoring the delay. Mark plants his poles and smiles, open, encouraging, already prepared to educate. What have you got? I step aside, crouch, and point before I can talk myself out of it. There. And there. I trace the line forward with my finger. They're traveling with us. Boots crowd the mud. Shadows overlap the evidence. Nora squints. Wolf, probably. They use trails. Mark taps the mud with his pole. Easy walking. Relief ripples through the four, quick and communal. Eyes lift. Poles shift. Done. But he climbs my face. They're not on the trail. They're alongside. A small pause. Not unfriendly, just thin. Mark gives a chuckle and taps one of the impressions with his pole tip. See how soft the edge looks? Most likely from last night. Hard to tell once people start tromping around. He gestures to the mess we made. My shoulders fold inward. Right. Of course. Nora gives me the smile people use when they're pleased you've tried. Gold star. Run along. Their conversation restarts midstream, the moment dissolving as if I never knelt in the mud. I stare at the next print ahead. Same direction. My pulse knocks once, hard against my throat. I stand and follow. Branches knit overhead. Wolf. Normal. The prints return 20 yards later, closer. I measure without meaning to, counting boot lengths from trail to track, arithmetic sliding into place. 15, 10, 8. My breath shortens. I force it back out. Ahead, someone laughs at a story about a failed summit bid, the comedy of expensive optimism. Poles clack, packs sway. I could point again. I picture their patience thinning. I keep walking. The trail bends toward a stretch of thicker brush, alder leaning in, leaves whispering against leaves as we pass. The air smells green and wet and recently disturbed. A crack snaps inside the trees. Not loud, decisive, the line falters. Heads turn in near unison, the choreography of prey pretending not to be. What was that? Someone asked. Probably a squirrel, Mark shrugs. We're pretty noisy. Nods travel up and down the column. Motion resumes. But a glance slips back. Brief, measuring. They remember. Crouched in the mud, inconvenient, resurfacing like indigestion. My stomach tightens with a hope, so mean, it almost feels like cruelty. See, I wasn't. No, don't. Nora glances back at me with a grin that wants camaraderie. Your wolf's coming to check us out. A couple hikers chuckle. I shape my mouth into something agreeable. Safe, I guess so. The brush runs tight along the trail now. I scan the margins. Pulse sinking to my steps. Attention sharpening to a wire. 7 yards, then 6. The next print lands so near the path I could step into it without lunging. I drop my gaze, pretending to adjust a trekking pole strap, hiding the map forming in my head. If I stay quiet, nobody gets that look in their eyes. Up ahead, conversation rises again, relief hardening into bravado. We'll be at the cabin in an hour. Hot food. Maybe a fire if we're lucky. Civilization. Walls. Doors that close. My heart climbs toward the promise. Beside the trail, the prints keep pace. The first glimpse of the cabin arrives between the trees. Relief surges through the group, traveling person to person. There it is. Nice. Perfect timing. Pace quickens. Hunger wakes. Jokes return. Louder now, victorious, as if we summoned architecture by deserving it. My body tries to follow, tries to believe wood equals protection. But my eyes slide to the edges of the clearing. Search first, celebrate later. The cabin sits square and patient. Door shut, windows dark. Porch worn silver by other people's boots. Smoke curls nowhere. Nothing moves. Fine. Good. Normal. Packs drop with theatrical groans. Nobody looks behind us. We funnel toward the door. Mark reaches it first, lifts the latch, pushes inside, like doubt belongs to other people. Air breathes out. Cold ash, old wood, strangers. Nora steps past me, scanning bunks. We can stack gear along that wall. Someone else claims the table, spreading food in quick territorial blooms. Headlamps appear. Stove parts clink. Wet socks drape with optimism. The choreography of competence. I hover in the doorway, heart ticking to trail rhythm. They fill the room fast, warmth building from noise alone, civilization assembling itself from habit. This could be fine. Behind me, the clearing waits. I turn. Just one look. Casual. Nothing dramatic. Evening lowers. Light thinning. Trees crowd the perimeter. Shoulder to shoulder. Good witnesses, terrible allies. I scan the ground near the steps. Boot prints, scuffs. Our arrival stamped everywhere. Then, beyond the turn, where the mud holds shape, there, large, fresh, edges holding, my gaze follows the line. 1, 2, they arc toward the cabin. My breath stalls halfway in. Inside, laughter spikes. Someone knocks over a pot lid and swears cheerfully. The stove coughs to life. Normal roars behind me, bright, persuasive. I could walk in and swallow what I know. I imagine the smiles again, the gentle rearranging of my fear into something cute. You're a wolf. I turn, stare harder, bargaining with the dirt for a different answer. nothing changes. They came close enough to understand us. Hey, Nora calls from inside. We're about to eat. I brush my palms on my pants and take one last look at the clearing. The trees give nothing back. I pull the door closed behind me. Dark presses against the windows early, thick as a held palm. Inside, heat swells. Damp socks steam near the stove. I accept a bowl, perch on the edge of a bench, and lift soft, spicy noodles. Someone produces chocolate like a magician, pulling mercy from a hat. Laughter grows easier, rounder, fed by carbs and walls. Bodies spread out. Boots line the wall in obedient pairs. Headlamps blink off one by one, the room settling into lantern glow and shadow. Mark leans back. Good miles today. Agreement hums. Outside, something moves. Wait through brush. A presence rearranging twigs. Conversation thins, falters. Someone clears a throat. Wind picking up? No wind touches the cabin. Mark tips his head, confident in his ability to translate the world. Probably animals shifting around now that we're done crashing through. I keep my eyes on my bowl. Something moves along the wood. My spine locks. Across the table, a man chuckles too loud. Well, they know where the restroom is. More laughter. I catch a woman's worried face. Movement goes quiet. Silence pours in. The stove ticks, metal adjusting. I count heartbeats. One, two, three. A huff sounds near the door. Close, alive. The intimate push of air through a body large enough to matter. Heads lift, eyes turn. No more jokes. Mark sets his bowl down carefully, as if sudden motion might insult the dark. He rises, crosses to the window, and peers through the narrow slice of glass. What do you see? Nora keeps her voice light. It frays anyway. Nothing yet. He leans closer. Hard to tell. My palms slick. Tell them they came close. Your aura is stirring things up. I swallow both. Outside, brush whispers again, circling, patient as math. Mark steps back from the window, rolls his shoulders, reaching for authority he can still inhabit. They're curious. Smell food. They don't want trouble. We're fine. The group exhales in pieces, accepting the offering. People begin arranging sleeping pads. Movement is efficient, determined. Zippers hum. Layers slide into place. I unroll my bag near the wall, listening to the dark map us. Another pass along the boards. Closer. My pulse climbs, looking for somewhere to land. Across the room, Nora meets my eyes. This time she doesn't smile. You mentioned tracks earlier. She turns to Mark. They travel in packs, right? The room shifts. Not much. Enough. I nod. No one laughs. Outside, something bumps the front steps. Everyone hears it. Sleep performs itself around the room. Bodies zipped in nylon. Breaths exaggerated, everyone pretending horizontal equals safe. I lie inside my bag, eyes open, counting the small settling sounds of wood, memorizing distance. Window, door, store, people. Outside, the night keeps its own counsel. Fabric rustles across the room. A zipper opens. I turn my head. Nora sits up, hair loose around her shoulders. Bravado wrinkled by fatigue. Bathroom, I can't hold it anymore, she whispers. The dark negotiates volume. No one volunteers to accompany her. Mark lies still. She shoves her feet into boots, grabs a headlamp, flashes us a grin assembled from spare parts. I'll be quick. The door opens. Cold air sweeps in, smelling of metal and animal. And the enormous fact of outside, The door closes. Her light bobs past the window, briefly sketching the clearing, the path toward the outhouse. Then she disappears. Silence returns, thicker now. I count. 5, 10. The stove ticks. Someone turns over. From far off, a branch cracks. I sit up. My body is already chosen before permission arrives. The scream tears across the clearing, high and total, ripped from somewhere below language. Everything detonates. Zippers fly. Someone swears. A headlamp crashes to the floor. Beam spinning wild, making monsters out of boots, packs. Guns appear in hands I didn't know were armed. The door bangs open. Nora stumbles inside, slamming it behind her, hands fumbling for the latch. I saw them, she gasps, back pressed to the wood as if she can force it outward. I saw them. Her light jerks across the walls, frantic, searching faces. Where? Mark's voice has lost its easy shape. By the trees. God! Her chest heaves. Eyes, more than one. No one laughs. No one educates. Her beam lands on me, not by accident. You knew, she says, accusation and plea tangled together. Everyone turns. I could retreat, pretend we're all equally surprised. I push my hands into the floor and stand. They have been pacing us since this afternoon, closer each time. No one interrupts. I keep going, terrified of stopping. Food will pull them in. Noise might keep them uncertain. We stay together. Nobody goes out alone. We pee inside into buckets. Mark nods, already rearranging himself around a new center of gravity. Okay. Yes. Good. Nora slides down the door until she sits, shaking. Lamp pointed at the floor now, light pooling uselessly at her knees. Outside, something moves through the brush. Step back. You only make this worse. The words strike old bruises. I stay upright, tracking the rhythm of fear moving through the room. Each time the boards tick, heads lift, gazes slide to me, checking whether my face changes. It doesn't. Inside, terror works my bones like cold. Outside, the world waits for light. Darkness thins, draining from black to charcoal, to the exhausted blue of almost. Morning seeps through the windows, revealing damp socks, hollow eyes, people aged 10 watchful years before breakfast. No one jokes. Mark rubs his face, exhales, nods toward the door. We should see. We. I stand before doubt can organize. I'll look. Heads lift. Mark steps aside. I lift the latch. Cold air rushes over me, raw, honest. The clearing lies open, innocent as a stage, after the audience leaves. I step onto the porch. Boot prints clutter the mud, ours. Beyond them, circles. So many the ground quits pretending, paths overlapping, inside the space we call ours. A root worn toward the door. They came near enough to consider us. My stomach flips. But my mind settles, strange and bright. I turn back inside. They stayed. No drama, but they kept distance. Breath moves through the room, not relief, not panic. Information, usable. What do we do? Nora doesn't hide the plea. I meet her eyes. For a second, my daughter's face replaces hers. Defer, minimize. I let it pass through. We hike out together, tight groups, poles up, talk, they're accessing opportunity. Nods ripple, no one rearranges them. We pack fast. Morning holds its breath while we assemble courage from straps and buckles. I take the front, not because someone appoints me, because my feet move there. The trail receives us, narrow, ordinary, miraculous. We walk. Sound builds behind me, conversation forced at first, then easier, human noise, staking a claim. I scan the sides. Every snap twig reports. Every shadow negotiates. Fear walks with me, intimate, undeniable. So does certainty. I can read this. A mile passes, then another. The woods loosen their grip. Threat thinning, not memory. Voices grow louder. Laughter returns, cautious, grateful. No one rushes ahead of me. At a bend in the trail, Mark draws even. Good call back there. The compliment lands. It doesn't move me. Ahead, the world widens. Gravel glinting through trees. Cars waiting like proof of civilization. Inside my chest, something long folded begins to stand. Gravel crunches under our boots. Loud after the diplomacy of forest floor. Cars blink through the trees. Civilization returns in chrome and coffee thermoses and the miracle of cell service. One by one, hikers thank me. Glad you came. They drift toward their cars. Nora hugs me without preamble. I'm really glad you came. Me too. Mark comes over. Who knew? I did.
Wolf Normal was written and read by Lynn Curry. The producer was Tabitha Potts. It has come to our attention that individuals posing as Story Radio have been approaching writers asking for payment to be on the show. We never ask writers to pay to submit to us. You can just visit our submissions page and send us a story for free. If you want to support us, we do have a Patreon and other ways to donate on our website, but we don't ever ask our writers for money. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.